Today's devotion is titled Moses, Let My People Go, Part 2. In our previous devotion, titled Moses, Let My People Go, Part 1, we saw how Moses, having met God at the burning bush, left his father-in-law and his family, and was making his way back to Egypt to confront Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to let the Israelite people go, for them to return to the country of Canaan, chosen by God. We continue to read in Exodus 4, 27 to 28. The Lord said to Aaron, that's Moses' brother, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he met Moses at the Mount of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the signs he had commanded him to perform. Like Moses, it is so important and imperative we as leaders of God's people, like Moses, have an open heart, willing to share the plans that God has put on our heart. Remember, we're part of God's army. An army has to march in formation. We have to be united as we move forward in the battle. So each one of us needs to have full knowledge and understand every aspect of our duties and service for Him. Because when we share everything, we become equal and can move forwards together. As leader, Moses needed to exercise great humility, willing to share and keep everyone informed. Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had said to him to say. Open-hearted communication is vital. It unites. Everyone knows the plans been made. And when we know the purpose of our mission, all can then pull together. We read about Moses in Numbers 12, verse 3. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Another great asset a leader needs to have. We continue to read in Exodus 4, 29 to 31. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. So Moses testified to the elders all that God had planned and performed the signs. We now see Moses is displaying his leadership skills. He is very proactive, bringing his special gift and abilities to play. Moses and Aaron showed their ability to gather the elders of Israel together and explain God's plan to release the Israelites out of their bondage. This brought assurance to the elders. They were assured that Moses had been directed by God, having met the elders, putting them fully in the picture, together set off to face Pharaoh and ask him to let his people go. The elders could sense the sincerity and the truth of what God was going to do. We now see humility on the part of the elders. We read when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Moses and all Israel were facing a foe, a people who did not believe in God, who worshipped many idols. Moses and the elders were facing an adversary. Up to now, Pharaoh had God's people under his control. The Israelites were inert, helpless, in bondage to the people of Egypt. It is like the world at large. There are so many evil people and organizations in the world who are seeking to stifle the Jewish nation, to try and stifle them and destroy the nation. Satan is also persecuting and seeking to stifle the church as well. We have to be so careful that we as God's church do not allow ourselves to become entangled and bound. There is a great danger for large Christian church organizations in becoming an organization too self-controlled, having an overall body controlling them, being bound with legalistic rules and organizational rules which can stifle and block out the true purpose the church is on earth to fulfill, to freely go and preach the gospel and make disciples. We see that the Israelite elders, having listened to Moses and Aaron, believed that God was about to rescue the Israelites out of Egypt. This brought great unity, single-mindedness, which became a force for good when Moses and Aaron spoke to Pharaoh. An army has to have discipline and march out in order, be as one. To be an effective army of God, we as God's church must be walking as one, in unity, which brings strength and purpose to our mission. The elders did not give credit to Moses and Aaron. They gave credit to where it was due, to God, when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them, that had seen their misery. They bowed down and worshipped. When we are responsible for leading God's people, it is imperative that those leaders we have working with us are like Stephen in the New Testament. We read in Acts, when it was necessary for the apostles to delegate some of the more practical jobs within the church, they needed to select the right leaders to take up the role. We read about seven chosen for the job in Acts 6, 1 to 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The ones chosen to take on leadership roles need to be full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, but the ones chosen also need to gain the respect of their elders, as with Moses and Aaron. Men chosen by God, they need to acknowledge and respect them, to obey and be guided by them. We read in Exodus 4:31, "When they, the elders, heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped." The elders recognized it was all of God. This in itself brings unity, which in turn brings power, which in turn through the Holy Spirit enables the leadership to be fruitful, as well as bringing unity within the congregation. It is a very important lesson to learn. It will generate church growth. David wrote in Psalm 133 how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. The perfume of the anointing oil spoken by David had a sweet smell. So when there is unity in a church congregation, the fragrance of the Holy Spirit present permeates the members, bringing joy and contentment to the church. The warmth and unity of the church will be a testimony to those who do not know the Lord. When Jesus was praying that special prayer in John 17 for his chosen ones and all those in the world who would in the future follow him, he prayed that those followers would recognize him as God's son, to revere and worship him, but that they should be wholeheartedly united as he and his father were. We read in John 17:20-23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. The Apostle Paul gives us the secret to what Moses had, which is vital to bring unity. Paul says in Ephesians 4:2-4, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, that is the Church, and one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. A leader who is humbly walking with God, led by the Holy Spirit, will be recognized. Peace and grace will be upon him. Folk will want to respect him, listen, obey, and be guided by him. At Pentecost, we read that the apostles had been anointed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we hear what transpired as a result of the apostles having been just healed a lame man. We read in Acts 4:8-13. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to anoint account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Does your heart glow with the Holy Spirit when you read and speak of Jesus? Does his joy reflect through your countenance? Do we reflect the person and character of Jesus in all we do and say? Do people see something in us that stands out to show we're the followers of Jesus? Remember what transpired the first time Jesus was recorded speaking in public. After he finished reading from the book of Isaiah, we read in Luke 4:20-22. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they ask. We can ask ourselves, do we have in our eyes and face the Jesus glow? We are encouraged to follow in the steps of Jesus. By walking in his footsteps, we will have the respect of the people we seek to help and guide. We also read what the apostle said in Hebrews 13:7. "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." At Pentecost, when the Christian church was first birthed, when the apostles first experienced the power of the Holy Spirit on them, we read in Acts 4:32-35, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need." Again, we see how all the church were reunited and of one mind, humble, selfless in spirit and action. If the Church of God today adopted these principles, we would again see great church growth. We read in Acts 2:46-47, "Every day they committed to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved." My prayer follows the words of the hymn, "Come let us sing of a wonderful love." Verse 4 reads, "Come to my heart, O thou wonderful love, come and abide, lift in my life till it rises above envy and falsehood and pride, seeking to be lowly and humble, a learner of thee." Our prayer should also follow the writer of another chorus. These are the words the songwriter has penned. "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let the fruit of thy Spirit be seen in me. Grant me grace all sufficient, that I may be true and faithful every day, every step of the way, pointing souls to the Saviour on Calvary." Amen.
Jesus be seen in me. wondrous compassion and purity.
Refine
till the beauty of Jesus be seen.